Wing you, you hide from your own,
in her abominable Taglian. She refuses to believe she doesn't speak the language like a native. Work. Even without the old man's paranoia, I would have kept Smoke to myself. Hell, I'm taking a huge risk just mentioning him in these pages, even though I'm scribbling them in a language hardly anyone down here even speaks, let alone reads. Soulcatcher is out there somewhere. Our precautions against her discovering Smoke are more elaborate than those keeping the Radisha and the Shadow Master away. Catcher was in the palace not long ago. She stole those annals that Smoke hid before his disaster. I'm pretty sure she did not notice Smoke himself. The network of confusion spells around him is supposedly extremely subtle on its fringes, so that even a player as powerful as Soulcatcher would not notice the misdirection unless she was really focused on finding something like it. I told them, I just talked to the captain. He said the headquarters group will leave tomorrow or the next day.
You're still determined to go?
Uncle Doge nodded. He didn't seem emotional when he reminded me, we too have a debt to repay. The few material possessions the three shared were packed and piled by the apartment door already. They'd been ready to go for days. I was the one who needed to focus and finalize my preparations. I had lied to Croker when I had said I was ready to travel. I'm going to bed now. Don't wake me up for anything but the end of the world. Chapter 4. Sleep is not an escape from pain. In sleep there are dreams. In sleep I go places more horrible than those I walk when I'm awake. In dreams I still go back to Dejigore, to the death and disease, the murder and the cannibalism, and the darkness. In dreams, Sari still lives, whatever the horror of the place she walks. That night, my dreams did not restore me to the wonder of Sari's company. I remember only one. It came first as a shadow, an all-enveloping malice full of playful cruelty, as though I was sinking to the soul of a spider that enjoyed tormenting its victims. The malice did not take note of me. I passed through to its other side, and there the dream wrenched sideways, twisted, and took on life, though it was a life entirely of black and white and grays. I was in a place of despair and death. The sky was lead. Bodies rotted around me. The stench was strong enough to drive the buzzards away. The sick vegetation was coated with what looked like thick grasshopper spit. Only one thing moved, a distant flock of mocking crows. Even amidst my horror and revulsion, I felt that the scene was familiar. I tried to hang on to that thought, to pursue it, to sustain my sanity by ferreting out why I would know a place I'd never been. I stumbled and tripped across a plain of bones. Pyramids of skulls were my mile marks. My foot slipped on a baby skull that spun and went rattling off to the side. I fell, and fell, and then I was in another place. I am here. I am the dream. I am the way to life. Sari was there. She smiled at me, then she was gone, but I clung to her smile as the only thing capable of letting me keep my head above the waters of a sea of insanity.